Well, if you have your scriptures with you this morning, turn to Genesis chapter 40. We're in Genesis chapter 40 today. Last week we discussed the question, what do you do when you try to honor God in your life and things go from bad to worse? For Joseph, he goes from being a favored son to being sold as a slave. He goes from rising up to almost an equal with his boss Potiphar to being thrown into prison for a crime that he didn't even commit. What do you do as a Christian when you're just trying to live life and honoring God as Joseph is and things go from bad to worse? And just to remind you, we said you keep going. You keep honoring God. You keep doing the right thing. You keep trusting his sovereignty. You keep trusting his providence and trusting that he will make a way. If you recall, Joseph was serving Potiphar in his house and things were going great until Potiphar's wife had accused Joseph of rape and had him thrown in prison. Two things that we discussed last time, that being a Christian will not shield you from gross injustices, but we persevere through them. We keep our eyes fixed on God's sovereignty and providence. And the second thing we said was that when you are in those moments, when things go from bad to worse, don't you dare think that God's love for you has changed. It hasn't at all. As chapter 9 ended last time, it said that the Lord was with Joseph along with his steadfast love. The Hebrew word hesed, unchanging, unwavering. God's love for you in Christ Jesus is constant. Even in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph just kept serving his God, and the Lord blessed him. Today, as we come to chapter 40, some time has passed while he's in prison. And life surely hasn't gone the way Joseph dreamed or expected. The text never mentions the kind of emotions Joseph had. We definitely know he had a true faith. He kept doing what was right. He kept loving and serving those around him. And the Lord was with him. But I wonder how he processed all the things that he was going through in life in those days and nights when it was quiet. I wonder if he wrestled with things. Did he rehearse the dreams that God had given him many years ago and try to figure out what was going on? He had those dreams where it seemed that he would be some kind of ruler and roll over his family in some way, but now he finds himself in Egypt, in prison? Did he have nights just where he just thought about his dad, wanting just to sit near his dad? Did he think about his brothers? Did he have thoughts about his mom who had died when he was young, just craving for a hug? We're not told of any of his thoughts. But maybe we get a clue. Maybe we get a clue with the last verse of chapter 40. It says, "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Forgot him. Feeling forgotten, feeling alone are terrible things to experience. You can feel it as a sibling, just by just being ignored by the rest of the family. You can feel it as a teen if it seems like you're not being included in things. You can feel it as an adult where you would think certain people or family members would be treating you differently. Sadly, at times, people will forget us. I think many times it's not intentional. Sometimes it's intentional, but I think for a lot of times it's not an intentional forgetfulness. Life gets busy and people become blind to important realities and relationships. I think we've all probably had a sense of feeling forgotten. You think of the silly times when your parents forgot to pick you up maybe at soccer practice or forgot to get you at school or you were together somewhere and went home and didn't realize that you weren't in the car. In some sense, we feel forgotten at times. But especially when life doesn't meet our dreams and expectations, when life doesn't go the way we thought and you're walking through some hard providence of God, it can seem like we've been forgotten. And the story of Joseph reminds us. It reminds us and teaches us that though people forget us, our God never does. The transcendent God of the universe will never forget you. On the contrary, he's always and intimately involved in every matter of your life. And he's right there with you, leading you. You can trust him. That's what I hope that we'll begin to see today, that we've been seeing in the past couple weeks, and that you'll see in the weeks to come. God never forgot Joseph. He's right there leading him the whole way. Let me pray and we'll walk through chapter 40 together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would take this time, that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into your truths, and that we would see these great promises that you're always, always intimately involved in the life of your people who hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, for we are united to him and he never lets go and you never let go. Grow us in these truths, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So if you have your scriptures, Genesis 40, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 to begin. It says, sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with the two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in his custody. We'll end there, and the first point I want to give you this morning is that God's providence is always at work, even with the people you meet, even with the people you come in contact with. God is always at work bringing different intersections of people that you come in contact with. Joseph has been in prison for some time now. Remember that he's there for a crime that he didn't commit, and remember that God's favor was upon Joseph. He was in some sense in charge of this prison. Anything that needed to be done in the prison, somehow it would run through Joseph. He was some kind of manager. Here we're introduced to two new people that in God's providence come into Joseph's life. We have the baker and the cupbearer of the head of Egypt, Pharaoh himself. These two men committed some kind of offense or sin against Pharaoh, and they landed in prison with Joseph. These guys, the cupbearer and the baker, are in charge of the food and drink of Pharaoh. They were in charge of his safety, that no one would poison these things. And they've done something wrong. They've sinned somehow against Pharaoh. It doesn't say how, but now they've landed in prison and they cross paths with Joseph. As the story unfolds, we'll see the significance of the colliding of these individuals. As they have been living their own separate lives, thinking, planning, making decisions, experiencing choices, experiencing the life decisions of others. But above all these things that are happening, God is orchestrating, God is moving, and he has worked in such a way where these three very different individuals are now together in this prison. It was no accident. These were plans set from eternity past, set in motion, and they're playing out before us. God is intimately involved in the matters of his people. He's working out their sanctification as well as their salvation. Remember, one of the truths in all the interactions at play here, that God is preserving the family line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That way from the seed of the woman, the one that was promised to Eve from long ago, that would crush the head of the evil one, that he would come. And God is making a way for all that happened to save and rescue his people. God is at work in the lives of individuals, but he is also doing what is necessary for the advancement of the kingdom of God. God's providence is always at work, even with the people you meet. Just think about it, whether you're young or old. Reflect on the people that you have come across with in your life over the years. You've had some positive experiences, you've had some negative experiences, but they're all interactions that have helped to shape you and grow you in some fashion. Think of the friendships from your earliest memories, childhood friends, Think of the variety of people that you've worked with, that you've served with, that you've served in church with, as going out and witnessing together. Think of all those interactions with neighbors and friends. All that happened because of the providence and plans of God. Think about it. You didn't have a choice what year you would live in. You didn't know what country you would be born in. You didn't know what community you would live in. You wouldn't know what family you would be born into, what people you would meet. But God's working out his plan in your life, even the people that you meet. Maybe today just take some time and thank God for those different people that have come into your life. Reflect how the different interactions have challenged you and grown you in your faith, even the hard ones. Praise God for how he's been working through those relationships over the years. And for those close relationships, for those close people that you've had and that have greatly affected you, maybe let them know that. Encourage them today. Let them know how greatly they've impacted you, that the friendship and interactions, and that you're so thankful that God has brought you together. Encourage them and praise God for them. So God has brought these three men together. Let's see how their lives will be intertwined and play out. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. It says, on one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison. Each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in the master's house, why are your faces downcast today? They said to him, we have had dreams and there's no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. And I want to say here that God's providence will provide opportunities for you to use your gifts in ways you would have never imagined. He will lead you into circumstances where you'll be able to use your gifts in ways you've never imagined. God is at work moving in the lives of these men. The cupbearer and the baker both had dreams that troubled them. These dreams seem different than other dreams you normally have when your imagination runs wild. You know those kinds of dreams, right? Where somehow you're in this dream and you're a superhero, an action hero of some kind, and you're taking on bad guys, then all of a sudden a talking squirrel that's 3 feet tall just kind of starts talking to you and says, hey, dude, you want to go get some ice cream? And so you decide, I'm tired of fighting these bad guys, and you go off with this talking squirrel and you go get some ice cream. It wasn't one of those kind of crazy dreams. I think you know what I'm talking about. These dreams that these men had were very different. Joseph noticed that they were troubled by these dreams. Again, we see the care and concern of Joseph for even in these circumstances or that are less than ideal, he has concern and care for these men. He could have ignored them. He could have saw that they were downcast and said he didn't really want to bother with them, but he had a servant's heart. He saw that they were troubled. He says, why are your faces downcast? And they said, we had dreams and no one's here to interpret them. Well, in God's providence, Joseph theirs, and he knows a little bit about dreams, doesn't he? He has a connection to the God of the universe who reveals truth through these kinds of dreams. Joseph has a gift from God and a relationship to God to where God will reveal truth to him through dreams. So Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me and I will tell you what they mean. God's providence will provide opportunities for you to use your gifts in ways you never could have imagined. Joseph is using his gift while in prison. That's something he never thought would ever happen. He had these dreams while he's at home, in his homeland. Here he's in a very hard and difficult circumstances, and here he's going to be able to use the gift that God gave him. We see people do that all the time. We see people in the medical field who are very gifted in what they do, and they have a desire to care for others and serve others, and so they go overseas. And they use their gifts and talents to work on people, to bring medicine to people as a means and avenue to share Christ with them. I think of our own Gerald. He once rapped for the world, but now he raps for the Lord. He's on social media. He'll visit churches, and he takes his ministry to the streets and uses his gifts wherever he goes. When I was at New Life Church, I learned to make videos for basketball camps just to make memories for the kids on the last day of camp. Little did I know that God was teaching me how to make videos for a time like this when we wouldn't be able to meet in person. And we're using those gifts and talents so we can worship together through this media video. God's providence will provide opportunities for you to use your gifts in ways you never imagined. Remember, the church is not the building. You are the church. You who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a living, moving, organic kingdom of God. Don't just use your gifts and talents here at this location, but use them out in the world, the places where God takes you, and make much of Christ because of those gifts. As Joseph said, God interprets dreams. He didn't say, I can interpret dreams. He says, God will tell us. He gives the glory to God. And that's what we do with our gifts. Use them in your circumstances that you find yourself and exalt God with them. 1 Peter, in that book, he talks about the end times. And with everything that's going on in the world currently, many people want to speculate again if Jesus is coming back soon. And if so, what should we do? What should we do as a church? Should we retreat? Should we escape? Should we just wait for Jesus' return? Or what should we do? And 1 Peter says this in 4:7. He says, the end is near. This is basically what he says. Stay self-controlled. Be sober-minded. Pray. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality without grumbling. And as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And this time, you are here for this time. In God's providence, you are here for this time. God says, you've been given a gift. You who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, use your gift to tell the glories of Christ, to tell the hope of Christ, to tell the hopes of eternal life in Christ, how there can be reconciliation, how there's truth in Christ. Here Joseph finds himself in less than an ideal situation, and he's using his gifts in ways he didn't imagine. He keeps serving, he keeps blessing. And that's what we need to do in our day-to-day engagement with the culture. Keep using your gifts into the honor, for the honor and glory of Christ. Let's see how this story continues in verse 9. It says, so the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. He said to him, in my dream there was a vine before me. On the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth and clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to the office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me this kindness to mention me to Pharaoh so to get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you, hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. It was a hard truth to tell, wasn't it? And so in God's providence, he will give you opportunity to share the truth of God. Whether it's a hopeful thing or a positive thing, or even a warning or a hard thing. So the cupbearer and the baker share their dreams with Joseph. God reveals to Joseph what those dreams mean, and he conveys the truth to them. For the cupbearer, it was good news. In 3 days, he would be out of prison. He would be restored to his status of cupbearer. Everything was going to be okay for him. Joseph asked him, "When you're out and everything's okay, remember me. Let Pharaoh know that I'm in here for something I didn't do. I need to be released from this pit." For the baker, he noticed that the interpretation was favorable for the cupbearer, so he asked Joseph, what does my dream mean? And the interpretation revealed that the outcome was not good. The baker would be released from prison in 3 days, but only to be hung by Pharaoh, and the birds would eat at his head. That would have been a hard truth for Joseph to deliver. Joseph could have received that truth from God and he could have wimped out. He could have said it was something completely different. He could have tried to soften it, not letting them know what was going to happen. He could have tried to come up with another story so he wouldn't be so scared or have cause or alarm. But Joseph told the truth. He told the truth of God. And as Christians, we must tell the truth of God, the good and beautiful truth. Like, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We tell that truth. We want people to come to know Christ and experience forgiveness and have the promise of everlasting life. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We tell that truth. It's a beautiful truth. But we also must tell the hard truth. John also says, "For whoever believes in Christ is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Christ is condemned already." We must warn people. They need Christ or there's condemnation. That's your sentence. Without Christ, we must tell people the truth. And again, in John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." We must share that truth. That's what Joseph did to the baker. He told the baker, "In 3 days, you're going to die." For the baker now, he knew he had 3 days to live. Think about it, 3 days. I wonder what he thought about. I wonder what he wondered. I wondered if he asked Joseph about this Lord who revealed the truth. Or if he just asked him, "Is there a way beyond the grave?" We don't know. If Joseph never told him that he was going to die, perhaps he never would have assessed his heart and his need before God. But now he has 3 days to prepare. He has 3 days to prepare. We all know that we don't have much time. We could die at any moment. Hebrews 9:27 gives us the warning, "Just as it was appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment." Comes judgment. We must tell the truth. We must get people ready and prepared for that day when they will die. Death will come and you will stand and give an account before God, and your only hope is in the atonement that he sent for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Believe in him. Follow him. We must tell the people so they will be ready. So think about who God has put in your path. Who has God made you meet and you have an intersection in a relationship with? And tell the truth. Tell the beautiful truths and the hard truths in Scripture, and may the Lord use it to save many. Tell the truth. And we'll see how it unfolds here for these men in verse 20. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And so our last point for this morning, remember when others forget about you, God's past providences prove that he hasn't forgotten you. Everything Joseph revealed to his friends came true, but his friend, the cupbearer, he forgot about Joseph. He forgot the one who gave him the good news. If you remember, Joseph said, remember me when you're free. Remember me when you're restored. When it's well with you, remember me. Remember me and do me this kindness. Tell Pharaoh what has happened, that I'm here for no just cause, to get me out of this house. But he forgot him. Can you imagine Joseph waiting 3 days after the guys get out of the prison? It comes to the fourth day and you're hoping to hear word. Waiting for the fifth day and you're waiting to hear word that he might be able to get out. And after 7 days, after 2 weeks, and eventually it's about 2 years, he's in there longer. He was forgotten. How do you deal with a reality like that? Well, you remember when others forget you. You remember that God's past providences in your life prove that he hasn't forgotten you. You remember God's past faithfulness to get you through the day. Joseph could easily have been dead by now. His brothers wanted to kill him, remember? God spared him. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him for rape. That's normally a death sentence, yet he's still alive. And when Joseph was in those different experiences as a slave to Potiphar and in the prison, he experienced God's steadfast love. He experienced his blessing even in the midst of those trials. And so he could know that his God hasn't forgotten him. Jared Wilson writes, you can endure great loneliness with confidence and joy when you believe God is looking after you. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, God says, but he says, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting means it doesn't end. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Israel Houston writes this song. He says, I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. God knows my name. Light over darkness, strength over weakness, joy over sadness. He knows my name. Father to the fatherless, friend to the friendless, hope for the hopeless. He knows my name. I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. God knows my name. When life does not meet our dreams and expectations and you find yourself walking through some hard providences, know that God still hasn't forgotten you. That this transcendent God who made the whole universe will never forget you. You're eternally united to Christ through faith, and that will never change. You will never unhinge. You will never be let go of that union. God is always intimately involved in every matter of your life. He's right there leading you. You can trust him. Remember, God's providence is always at work, even with the people you meet. God's providence will provide you opportunity to use your gifts in ways you never imagined. God's providence will give you the opportunity to share the truths of God. And remember, when you are forgotten by people, God will never forget you. He is right there. Remember the past providences in your life, and remember his faithfulness to you. God does not and will not forget you. You are his. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would take these truths and encourage us. Lord, that as we remember our union with Christ through faith, that we rely on Him, our Lord, our Savior, the great Shepherd of His people, that He's right there walking us. He leads us by green pastures. He takes us to still waters. He's the good Shepherd. He restores our soul. Restore our soul this morning. Help us to remember in all things that we are not forgotten, that you are working intimately in the details of our lives to shape and mold us, and also to advance the kingdom of God in your mysterious and wonderful ways with people all over this world. Empower us with these truths, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.